各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
谢谢刚刚我们的菩萨先帮我开场了哈。我一直在想，我到底要一开始要讲什么。
Thank you for Liman Pusa's introduction, because I was wondering what should I say in the beginning.
那我们今天的题目呢，叫做石牛土哈。
Today, our topic is 10 ox herding pictures.
这个石牛图呢，是在禅宗里面很有名的，算是叙述一位修行者开悟的体验，把它透过除了文字以外，也用图片来表示。那我们修行的人，禅修的人，修行的目的，特别是想要达到有开悟的经验，就是所谓见性的经验。
So, the 10 ox herding pictures is very famous in Chan because it used diagrams, pictures to illustrate the process of a practitioner, Chan practitioner.Other than just words, and how the practitioner works, practices until reach enlightenment, and seeing the nature is very important in Chan practice.
所以我们今天呢，要跟大家介绍所谓开悟的经验是什么，还有这样经验呢，其实是人人都可以得到。不过在我们修行来讲呢，结果和过程两个呢，我们是注重在修行的过程。修行的目的，我们的结果虽然是想达到，就我们讲，我们希望能够有开悟、见性的这样子的经验。不过，重点还是在修行的过程，它才是我们真正的目的。
So today we're going to talk about what is exactly the enlightenment experience and why that everybody can achieve that. Of course, seeing the nature, achieving the enlightenment is our goal, but we still place more emphasis on the process itself.
好，那在一开始讲之前呢，我先问大家一下哈，大家有看过牛吗？
So before we start the talk, I want to ask you, have you seen a real ox, a bull?
有，在哪边？动物园还是自己家里曾经养过牛
？So where have you seen it? Is in the in a zoo or in your home or in your house in your home?
有的人举手。
Please raise your hand if you have seen a real ox.
是看过牛的吗？看过牛的先举手。真正的牛。
A real bull, yeah.
好，那那是在动物园呢，还是在可能我们出去玩在看到的
？So is it in a zoo or in a in a village in a countryside in the countryside?
请举手。
Please raise your hand.
好，那是自己家里曾经养过牛的。举手。
If you have raised a cattle before, please raise your hand.
哦，好，谢谢。
His last question is if you have raised ox at home, if you're a farmer.
Yeah. 好。好，我们发现好像。家里曾经养过牛的有一些菩萨啊，养过牛有放过牛的举手。
So please raise your hand if you ever herded an ox or bull or.
One, two, three, four.
Ox herding herder. You were an ox herder. If you were ox herder before, please raise your hand.
好，谢谢哦。有几位菩萨真的有养过牛、放过牛。小时候我们家也有养牛，好，那我没有放过牛，但是我的表弟他放过牛，我还曾经看过我爷爷他是自己种稻，就是用插秧的， 那是传统种稻啊，带着牛去犁田，好、哦，那牛后面拉着车载东西回来。我们小时候，我们家还是传统务农的，所以我曾经有看过，可是到我了就没有，因为负责看牛的是我的表弟。
So my family actually is a traditional Chinese family in the countryside. So I actually haven't seen my family actually raised ox or cattle. Not exactly sure because it's not really in English, in Western culture. So I actually have seen the ox, the cattle, but I haven't done the ox herding job because that's my cousin's job, but I've seen him doing that. And my grandfather has a rice field. We use cattle to plant, to crop. And I've seen ox or cattle pulling the cart. So that's my experience.
我不知道在美国牛是用来做什么的，会拿来耕田吗？
So I don't know what's the use for an ox or bull in the Western culture. Do you use ox or bull to plant the crop in the field or do farming? No, not very much. 不太多。
我前天要来这边之前，那我们刚好在象冈有位义工，他已经来我们这边住了大概一个多月两个月了。我们就开车去外面找牛，因为这个季节春天到了，想说去外面散散步找牛，结果有找到，不过是小牛。那好像这边的我们那附近的牧场养的牛主要是食用的，就是最后会进到其他人肚子去的，并不是要拿来耕田的。
So there's a volunteer who has been living in DDRC for almost a month, and yesterday we actually were driving around and searching for an ox or bull because it's spring now and we want to see it. And we actually find one, but it's a rather small one and we think it's primarily used for food.
好，那在古代啊，不是古代，是佛陀时代齁。佛陀时代在讲经的时候，佛陀很喜欢用经典，总共分成12个类型齁。那这12个类型是佛陀用不同众生的根器，他讲不同类型的说法的方式。那其中有一种是我们叫做譬喻。所谓譬喻呢，是佛陀会举一些我们日常生活当中会遇到的一些例子，或是我们日常生活当中可能我们的生活模式就是这样子在运作的，因为它贴近我们的生活，所以佛陀借由这样的例子，让我们可以深刻的去了解到佛陀所要说出来的法是什么，内容是什么。
So, during in the ancient India or during the Buddha's time, Buddha actually used twelve different ways to expounding on Dharma, to catering to different karmic roots of sentient beings. And one of them is to use metaphor stories to illustrate the meaning of the Dharma, so people can get a vivid picture.
而在经典里面呢，最常譬喻的佛陀就是用动物，好，不管是不是我们在这个世间能够看到的，好，啊，我们还是这世间有的，像龙、象、牛、马、狮子，好，等等的动物。
And very often Buddha using animal metaphors to expound on dharmas, like dragon, elephant, ox, horse.
因为我们今天是讲跟牛有关系的，所以我这边会举一些牛的例子，让大家不管是在印度还是在中国的，会举一些例子让大家知道。
Because today we mainly talk about the metaphor of ox, so I'm going to give some examples both in Indian culture and Chinese culture.
我们先讲在印度的齁， 在印度牛它的地位是很神圣的，但是它神圣来源呢并不是因为佛教的关系，而是早期在印度的时候，在它传统的宗教也就是印度教里头啊，他们印度教里头相信就是这个世间是由三位神所创造出来，最原始的三位神，好，那其中一位就是大梵天，好，大自在天，他的太太的化身，他妻子的化身就是一头牛，因此他们把牛的地位在印度里头是非常神圣的。
So, in India, a bull or ox is viewed as holy and it's worshipped by Indians because it's not because of Buddhism in India, actually it's because their original religion, Hinduism. In Hinduism, they believe there were three gods and one of the gods, one of the big Brahma, his wife Shiva, his wife is believed to manifest it as an ox or bull.
另外在古代呢，不管是不是在印度哈，我们可以看到人们的财产主要来源有一个很重要，就是牛，像是西藏的牦牛，或者是在美国的西部牛仔，他们也是赶着牛群。
And also in ancient times, and maybe not just in ancient times, but most of the time people view ox or bulls, cattle as important property. And we can see that in Indian society and also in Western culture, like the cowboy in the West.
即使到了现在，在非洲有一些国家，他们结婚的时候，人们在结婚的时候，聘金呢，就是结婚，他们在衡量两家是不是对等的，或者是要把女儿娶过来的时候，别人家女儿娶过来的时候，他是用牛来做交换的。
And also in some African countries, when about to come to the marriage, two families actually will exchange. Cattle.
那在中国呢？中国牛，我们刚刚提到，它主要是耕作用的，所以一个人他的生活来源，因为中国是以务农为主的，所以他生活来源主要是以牛作为他们衡量一个财产一个很重要的一个依据。
And in China, as I mentioned, it's primarily used for farming, and it is an important economic source. So it is viewed as a measurement for your wealth.
特别是佛教进到中国之后，它改变了过去佛教在印度僧人他们的生活方式是托钵乞食，可是进到中国之后，生活方式呢是需要自给自足，这是国家之间不同的风俗民情所造成的。
Especially when Buddhism was introduced to China, the formalities changed a little bit. As we know in India society, Sangha will go around to do the alms round.But in China, Sangha monks has to provide food themselves.
所以中国的以前古代出家人，他们是必须要到农田当中去耕作，也就是自己的食物来源要自己自足。
So in ancient China, Monks has to get the food themselves, so they have to do the farming.
因此在古代很多祖师大德们在跟弟子之间的互动，就会透过举这种牧牛，也就是农田耕作需要除了在田中耕作之外，也要把牛只带去外面放草，就是放牛吃草。
So in ancient China, between great masters and his disciples, not only do they have to do farming, they also have to attend the ox, attend the bull, and herd the ox.
所以我们一开始在讲说，佛陀他在举例的时候，会举跟我们日常生活有关系的。那因此，我们等一下会来看看，在经典当中，还有在历代的祖师大德们，怎么样子举跟我们日常生活当中有息息相关，而且特别是跟我们就是饮食，就我们讲说，我们要维持我们这最基本的生活、生命下去的一个。来源的根据。
So we can see how great masters use ox to illustrate, or in the classic text, classic scripture, how Buddha used the metaphor of ox to illustrate the Dharma.
首先在真一阿含经里头、哦、的放牛品、后来这部经传到中国来。鸠摩罗什三藏也把它翻成佛说放牧牛经里头呢，他有提到牧牛的人或者是牧童、他要懂得去看牛只的十一个不同的状况，不管是身体的健康，还是带出去要怎么放牧，懂哪些地方可以放牧，哪些不行，有没有危险、那总会佛陀举了十一种例子、是息息相关的这种十一种例子，把它比喻跟我们修行者，一位修行者要注意哪十一种现象去做比喻性的故事。那这是在真一含经放牛品里头所说到的。
For example, in the Hinayana classics, Atara Agama, there's a chapter about the Buddha's about the sutras on the herding of cattle, and in that chapter it talks about an ox herding boy need to know 11 details about how to attend an ox. For example, he needs to know the health condition of an ox, where to let the ox eat the grass, and the Buddha using this metaphor. Using this analogy to show 11 situations we a practitioner need to watch.
另外在佛遗教经当中也提到一位修行者他该怎么修行，他提醒着我们修行者要时时注意着我们的五根跟外在六五境相结合的时候，怎么样子守持住而不被外境所干扰。
And also in the sutra on the Buddha's bequeathed teaching, it also mentioned that the bhikshus need how to attend five organs and pay attention to five organs, not let it go astray, to contact the five desires.
他提到修行方法呢，告诉我们。在牧牛的时候，牧童他会拿着一只牛鞭或是一只竹杖、当牵牛出去，如果牛只不听他所指示的所行动的时候，他就会拿这只牛鞭轻轻的去拍那只牛提醒他。那同样的，我们在修行的时候，这一只所谓直的杖，就是或是这个牛鞭，它代表的是戒律，我们依照着戒律所规范的、来作为我们生活的依准。那第一个是他提醒我们的随时随地要精进修行，再是如果当我们放逸的时候，就是当我们五根跟五境五尘所接触，那一接触呢，我们可能顺着外境去起心动念的时候，那有可能有时候会做出一些伤害别人的事情。所以这个目同他指的这支杖的用意是在第一个是提醒着自己要精进用功，这第一点。第二点是提醒着我们随时随地观察我们起心动念，不要去做出伤害众生的事情。这在修行当中，精进和慈悲两个是很重要的。
So, the method mentioned in the sutra is that a person will carry around, the ox herder boy will carry around a stick while watching the ox. When the ox wandered off to eating other people's crops, it will pull it back and gently strike it. So this is the same analogy. This is analogy made to as a practitioner. When he practices, he should pay attention when his five sense organs goes out to contact five desires or enter the five desires or five dusts. He needs to know, he needs to be aware of it and pull his mind back. So there were two purposes of this analogy. First one is we need to remind ourselves when we are practicing. We need to be diligent. The second meaning is that we need to be mindful. We need to watch our thoughts, our mind, and not to generate harmful thoughts. So both diligence and compassion is very important in Buddhism.
这是在经典当中几个比较提到的例子齁。另外在我们禅宗祖师大德里面呢，有两个故事也是很有名的。第一个是马祖道一和他的弟子慧藏法师的故事。
So what I just talked about are some examples in classic Hinayana texts. And in Chan classics, ox metaphor is also very famous. One of them is the story between Master Ma Zu and his disciples.
有一天，慧藏法师在厨房里面，出播，也就是他的工作是被分配到厨房。好，那马祖道一就到厨房去看他们。那进到厨房，他就问慧藏法师：“你在做什么啦？”那慧藏法师说：“他在牧牛。”马祖道一问他说：“你怎么牧牛的？”啊，慧藏法师就说：“如果当牛它想要跑去吃草的时候，它就会牵着绳子拉着。以前牛在中国，牛呢，它鼻子上面呢会穿一个鼻环。”啊，拉着绳子，就是当牛如果不听我们的指示的时候，他会先拉一拉这条绳子，也就是他的鼻子的牛黄，把它拉回来。所以说，他就说他会扭着他的鼻子把它拉回来。
So the story between Master Ma Zu and his disciple Hui Zhang, is like this. The disciple Hui Zhang is in charge of the kitchen. So one day, Master Ma Zu went in and talked to him, saying, "What are you doing?" And Master Hui Zhang said, "I'm attending the ox." So Ma Zu asked, "How do you attend the ox?" And Master Hui Zhang answered, "Well, I just watch it diligently, and when it goes astray, going off to eat grass, I will gently pull it back." And in ancient China, the way you control or harness an ox is you put a ring across the nose of the ox, and then you use a rope to attach to the ring. So whenever you want to pull the ox to whichever direction, you just pull the rope. So here he would pull the rope.
马祖道一听完之后，他说：“你真的懂得怎么牧牛了。”
And after Master Ma Zu heard the answer, he praised Master Hui and said, "That's good. Now you really know how to attend the ox."
大家听完这故事之后，他们师父和弟子间在做什么？
So after you heard the story, do you know what they are doing between the master and disciple?
有人知道吗？他们
Anyone knows?
在厨房煮饭跟要放牛有什么关系？
So what has a tending ox has anything to do with cooking, with the fare people are doing in the kitchen?
我们经常可以在这种祖师或者是弟子之间他们的对话呢，我们会发现一个问的问题跟回答的答案两个有时候看起来不相干，可是实际上他们在互动过程当中，就是从这边可以知道我们的修行到底是现在的体验程度到哪边。
So this situation actually often happens that between a dialogue, between the dialogue between master and his disciple, what the mask asked and what the disciple answered, actually sometimes it seems irrelevant, but actually it can show the practitioner's stage.
这个答案留给大家自己去体验。那我们在讲石牛图的时候呢，我们会一个过程一个过程哦，啊，我们去试着把自己的心哦放在故事里头啊，去体验看看过去祖师大德们他们在修行的过程当中他们的体验。那这个体验呢，或许每个人的过程就是一定是按照这样十个的图案的过程。好，不过它很重要一点就是，修行的方法有很多种。嗯，啊，在体验的过程中，就在这修行的过程当中，我们体验到的每个人都不一样，可是我们最后所希望达到的目的是一样的。
So the answer to my question, I will leave to you to ponder, on. While we continue our 10 ox herding pictures, you could try to place yourself in the story and see how you'd experience it. Of course, everyone's experience is different. The stages of each individual's practice may vary, but the goal is all the same, that we want to see the nature.
好，另外一个故事呢，是百丈怀海禅师和长庆大安禅师的故事。有一天，长庆大安法师去参访百丈怀海禅师，他到时候呢，就先向百丈怀海禅师作礼，就是先向他问讯，然后表示说他想要来这边求法。他就问了他的问题，他说学人就是我们修学佛法人想要是否欲求是否、哦、欲求是否说想要见得自己的跟如来一样的本来清净的佛性、哦、他说我们应该怎么办呢？那百丈怀海禅师就说，大概呢就像我们骑着牛 要去放牛一样、哦、骑牛啊，先骑着一头牛想要去找另外一头牛、哦、那接着大安禅师问说，那找到了以后怎么办呢？就是当我们想要骑牛去觅一条牛，找到之后该如何呢？百丈怀海禅师就说，这时候呢你就要骑牛回家，因为已经找到牛了，找到牛之后呢我们就要把牛带回家。那这时候大安禅师问说，那未审至终如何保认？意思就是说，虽然已经找到牛要带回家了，可是带回家以后呢，这就是结果吗？那如果它是结果的话，我们应该怎么样子再继续保持下去？这时候百丈怀海禅师就说，如牧牛人，也就是如放牛的人呢，他会带一只牛鞭，就是我们刚刚前面佛经典当中提到要带一只牛鞭，看着它，不让它跑出去吃别人家的农作物。
So the second story, Chen story, happened between Master Baizhang Huaihan and Master Changqing Daan. So one day, Master Changqing Daan paid a visit to Master Baizhang Huaihai, and so the Master Daan bowed to Master Baizhang Huaihan and asked I want to seek my Buddha nature, and what should I do? And Master Bai Zhanghuai had answered, well, first you're like searching a riding ox to search, but searching for another ox, and then you find the ox. And then Master Dan asked, once I find the ox, what should I do? Master Bai Zhanghuai said, once you find the ox, you should ride it home. And then Master Changting Dan asked again, after I ride it home, what should I do? And Master Bai Zhanghuai Hai answered, after you bring it home, you should try to keep it. And Master Changting Dan asked again, what should I do to keep it? And then Master Bai Zhanghuai Hai said, well, you should like the ox herder carrying a whip or staff, and make sure your ox won't go off to other people's rice field.
在这里面呢，它其实有三个层次的，在修行观中有三个层次。第一个呢，是我们去外面怎么样子找到一头牛，是第一个层次，也就是我们在修行的过程当中，第一阶段怎么样子把牛找到。第二段是找到牛之后要把牛带回家，这是第二个阶段。那牛带回家之后，我们应该怎么样子照顾这头牛，是第三个阶段。
So actually in this story there are three stages of practice. So first stage is how to find the ox, and second stage is once you find the ox, how do you bring it homeAnd the last stage is once you bring home, how do you look after the ox?
那这边呢，百战怀禅师他是用三个过程，提醒着我们修行的人。
So here, Master Bai Zhanghuai Hai uses this three stage to remind our practitioners.
而在石牛图里头，他是用十个过程。那我们现在会跟大家介绍石牛图的。依据。
Well, in the 10 ox herding pictures, it uses 10 stages, 10 pictures to show us the process of practice.
在中国开始举以牛作为修行的例子呢，是在唐朝开始。刚刚我们提到的马祖道一禅师和百战怀禅师，他们大概就是唐朝时代的人。
So first, we'll talk about the history and origin of the 10 ox herding pictures. So just like we mentioned before, Master Bai Zhanghuai Hai, Master Changting Dan, there are historical figures during Tang Dynasty. So the ox herding pictures first appeared during Tang Dynasty.
那现在的石牛图呢，最早开始它是所谓的牧牛歌，也就是也是在唐朝的时候，它是由香山宗慧禅师他写的十首，写了十首，也就是修行的过程当中，他把他的体验和我们刚提到古代中国的禅院，就寺院，以禅院为主嘛，那时候修行禅院为主，需要自给自足。那这时候的寺院呢，它有自己一大片很大片的田园。那这田园呢，他们需要自己去种稻子，因此他就举的出家人，他每天需要就是在农田当中耕作。那有养了一些牛，他也需要去外面放牛，也需要去外面放牛，牧牛。因此他就举了他自己的体验，配合着这种我们日常生活当中出家人，或者是当时古代中国主要以农作作物的为主。那他这样举例子呢，除了出家人本身自己了解之外，也可以让在家人他可以知道，因为这是贴近我们生活的，所以他写了十首关于修行的体验，透过牧牛的方式他写出来。
So the very earliest 10 ox herding 10 ox herding pictures or diagrams actually started by Master Xiang Shan Zong Hui. He wrote it, the Psalm of Ox Herding. He wrote it 10 psalms, 10 paragraphs or 10 verses of the ox herding to show his, to illustrate his experience and his practice, the stages, different stages of his practice. Because just like I explained before, in ancient China, Buddhist temples need to do farming themselves because they need to support themselves. So they actually have a lot of rice field, and they also need to raise cattle or to attend the ox to feed them. So using ox as a metaphor is very familiar, very close to the life of that time, to monks and to lay people.
那在唐朝之后呢，已经做了牧牛歌之后，其他的禅师也就开始同样以他当初定出来的十个题目，再去以每个人他自己的体验再去写出他自己体验到的十牛图是什么意思。可是当时这只是牧牛歌还没有出现图，当时在唐朝没有图片，有图片开始呢是进到了宋朝之后。有两位很有名的禅师，也就是我们目前比较常看到的。好，一组是临济宗禅师的思阔禅，阔安思远禅师所做的；另外一组是普明禅师所做的。那他们两位都是大概在宋朝时候的人。啊，这两组图分别，一组是在普明禅师他的图，主要是在中国比较有名。那阔安思远禅师的图，他后来在明代进到日本之后，那日本人主要是用他的。那
So for Master Xiang Shan Zong Hui, when he originated use a metaphor of ox to describe his own practice, his own experience, different stages of experience.He only used psalms or verses, only used the words. There's no diagrams or pictures attached to that. But after that, more practitioners starting to use analogy of 10 different ox herding stages to describe their own practice. But when it came to Song Dynasty, people start to use diagrams or pictures.Other than just the words. Two sets of ox herding pictures have been most widespread and most popular. One is by Master Kuo An Shi Yuan. The other one is by Master Pu Ming. Both masters lived in the period of Song Dynasty. And Master Pu Ming is more popular. Master Pu Ming's 10 ox herding pictures is more popular in China.While Master Kuo An Shiyuan's pictures are more popular in Japan because in Ming Dynasty, Zen Chen was transmitted to Japan along with this ox herding pictures.
那我们现在今天会跟大家介绍的呢是Kuo An Shiyuan禅师的版本。那我们刚刚提到Kuo An Shiyuan的版本呢，传到日本之后，后来佛法传到西方来，有一个很重要的时间点是在1900年初期的时候，在美国西方佛法主要进来的一个是藏传，一个是日本的，特别是日本的铃木大拙教授，他把禅法带进来，所以那时候是日本禅在美国有一段时间很流行。那他们也用了石牛图，用了石牛图，所以后来师父在美国早期也曾经讲过一次，那是在1987年在缅因州的摩根湾，很早之前在那边曾经带了一个禅山，那师父用三天的晚上介绍这石牛图， 给大家认识。
So for my talks, I will use Master Kuan Shiyuan's edition because Kuan Shiyuan's edition of Ten Ox Herding Pictures was transmitted to Japan, and then with Japanese transmission of the Zen, introducing the Zen to Western society, it became more popular. As you may know, that in the beginning, in the early 70s, Tibetan tradition and Japanese Zen tradition were introduced to U.S., and those were more popular. For Japanese tradition, was mainly introduced by Master Suzuki. And also, Shifu actually led a three-day Chan retreat in Maine in 1987, and also used the 10 ox herding pictures as the material for the talks during the retreat.
好，那我们在讲之前，我们先介绍库安禅师哈。库安思远禅师他是宋代临济宗杨岐派的，那跟我们师父的法脉传承是一样的。我们法鼓山的法脉传承在临济宗这一派传下来的，也是杨岐派的。那他的师叔就他师父的，跟他师父在同一辈的，还有一位是圆悟克勤，他也是临济宗，在临济宗里面很有名的一位祖师。
So first, we'll say a few words about Master Kuan Shiyuan. And Master Kuan Shiyuan is a Dharma heir of the Yangqi sect of the Lingji school. It's the same as our master, our founder Master Shen Yan. Master Shen Yan is also a Dharma heir of the Yangqi sect of Lingji school. And also, Master Huiyan Shiyuan's master's brother, Master Yuan Wu Keqing is also a famous Chan master.
好，这是关于库安思远禅师大概的介绍。
So that's just a few words on the author of the Ten Ox Herding Pictures.
好，那在石牛图呢，它我们现在正式介绍石牛图哈，在石牛图里面呢，它有几个重点的部分。第一个是我们刚刚提到他的故事，就是一位牧牛的人，就牧童的，我们就讲牧童好了哈，因为主要在古代需要放牛带牛出去外面吃草的，都是家里的小孩，因为家里的小孩他，因为像他这种农耕生活，他没有办法帮太大的忙。那可能大人在田里面帮忙的，做农的，务农的时候，耕田的时候，那当牛要带出去外面吃草，可是大人还是要在牛田里面帮忙。这时候小朋友就是最好的童工，去帮忙雇牛哈。那因此，我们这边就是把它像一个牧童一样来比喻。那第一个是牛。第一个是牧牛的人，第二就是这头牛，是这个石牛图里面去组成了两个很重要的因素。那他在修行过程中呢，他告诉我们就是我们要怎么样子去克服烦恼，那发现这头牛，那这头牛它的比喻呢，是告诉我们怎么样子发挥出我们如佛陀一般自然妙用。那这自然妙用要做什么呢？它要能够达到与世人互动。我们的修行它不是只是自己关在深山当中自己修行，它还是要回到世俗当中与人的互动，所以它是怎么样子达到化世的功能。
So in the Ten Ox Herding Pictures, there were two main roles, two symbols. One is the ox, one is the ox, the other is the ox herder. And here we would just use the ox herding boy because in Chinese farming family, usually is the boy's job to attend the ox, to let the ox go out to eat the grass. Because in a farming family, it's labor intensive, and the boy couldn't do much other than attending the ox. So here we would just going forward, we will use ox herding boy. Here the 10 pictures just show you how to overcome vexations and how to make use the wondrous functions of your own Buddha nature. And because we reach enlightenment not just to go into a seclusive life. Instead, we actually return to the world and to use the wondrous function to help.
那一个好的牧牛人，他需要具备哪些条件呢？第一个，他需要专心、坚持不懈的精神。所谓专心和坚持不懈呢，我们知道在我们修行当中，我们用方法只用一个。那这方法它是简单的。所谓简单是什么呢？像我们用数息的人，我们数目字只从一数到十，一个循环。从一数到十，数完之后再回到一回来。它这个简单的过程呢，久了之后，我们的心会觉得，因为它简单、它单纯，所以我们会觉得无聊，是不是想要多一些东西在里头？因此我们就容易让自己懈怠下来。那用话头的人，一句话念念念念念念到最后，它就只是一句话而已。那就开始想，那这句话到底就会开始用头脑想，这句话到底能给我们什么？我们真的这句话有用吗？就开始内心就有一些，因为我们刚提到，就方法它是很单纯的，单纯它会让我们觉得无聊，无聊之后我们自己就会想要找事做。那所以我们要怎么样子让自己的心在这种方法的上面还能够专心而不有其他的念头出来？也就是第一个是要专心，而且专心之后要坚持不懈的，就是认定这方法它能够带给我们有很大的帮助。
So, what qualifications does a good ox herding boy need to have? There should be two qualifications. First is dedication. The second is perseverance. Because it's just like when we use a method, first the dedication to the method. When we use a method, the method itself should be simple, and we should dedicate ourselves to just one method in the beginning. And for example, when you use counting the breaths as a method, it should be simple. We only count the breaths from 1 to 10. And when you finish 10, we return to 1 again in 1 to 10. Of course, because when you're doing that, you may feel it's boring sometimes. You may get bored because it's too simple, and you may get lax. So that's one challenge. And the same goes for people who use Hua Tong method, because it's just a question, and you repeat it again and again, and to the point sometimes you will wonder, is it really useful? How can Hua Tong benefit me? So during practice using a simple method, you may encounter those questions, doubts, and at that time you need to have the good qualifications of an ox herder, that you need to be dedicated to your method, and you need to be persistent. You have to have faith in your method that it will yield results for you. It will bring benefits to you.
所以如果第一点当我们做不到的时候呢，我们第二点会产生什么呢？它就像在牧牛的这个小朋友，他可能做的事情只需要把牛牵去外面吃草，好，那因为中国古代养的是水牛，所以水牛它需要有一窝水，好，就是一个小小池塘的水，让它能够在里面，牛它在里面怎样泥水里面打滚，那打滚用于什么呢？因为牛身上它有一些小虫会去叮牛，去吸牛，就是像 在美国鹿的身上有一些什么，鹿的那个叫做什么，鹿爪，好，那所以很重要的是千去万面呢，第一个要懂得怎么看这个水池牛进去之后是不是适合它在里头，我们讲类似洗澡这样的动作，好，啊，再来是牵去吃草的时候，我以前听我爷爷讲，哦，就是当牵牛去吃草的时候，不是把它找根树干把牛绳绑起来之后就放着让它去自己吃哦，在吃草之前呢要先拿一根竹竿去敲这个牧草，因为在牧草里面呢，在我不知道西方有没有，在我们东方那边有一种叫竹节虫，哦，那种虫呢它看起来就像竹枝一样，哦，竹节竹枝一样，就像枯的树枝，嗯，那它动作非常的慢，它动作非常的慢，那要先拍这个牧草的用意是什么呢，是要让这个竹节虫它离开牧草，因为当牛吃到竹节虫之后听说牛就会死掉，这是小时候爷爷告诉我的，所以我以前表弟去放牛吃草的时候呢，第一件事情就是要先拿竹竿敲这个牧草让牛离开，我不知道这边有放过牛的是不是这样子，还是只有台湾才有
So for example, so the first stage, initial stage is really important. You have to do it well. And you actually have to have a certain knowledge and skills of how you herd the ox, just like how you use a method. So in China, there are two kinds of cattle. One is, in Chinese we call 黄牛, is the ox is smaller in type and doesn't like water. The other one is a bigger type and likes going to water. I don't know if it should be translated to buffalo. Is that buffalo? Does buffalo like the water?
Well, I think that when an English speaking person says water buffalo.
Oh, water buffalo?
Oh,
yeah.
When in China. Mm-hmm. When they say buffalo in America, that's really a mistake because the animal that used to be on the Great Plains.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm. 美国的水牛应该是不耕田的吧，是那种大大只的，在那是黄石公园里面那种，是不是？
Yeah, the Chinese cattle are much smaller in type, but yeah, let's use water buffalo for now. So for Chinese water buffalo, Chinese water buffalo, they likes going to water because there are some ticks, just like the ticks in deer here.There are some ticks, blood-sucking insects, on Chinese water buffalo. That's why they like to go into water to have a bath. So as a good ox herder, you need to know whether it's the right river or water puddle for the Chinese water buffalo to go into. And also you need to know where to lead the Chinese water buffalo to eat grass, to feed them, because...at least in Taiwan, I heard my grandpa told me that there's a very dangerous insect, looks like bamboo, or its color is close to bamboo shoots. So if the ox eats the bamboo by mistake, it will die. So it's very serious. So a good ox herder needs to know and need to pay attention, and need to, use a stick,to strike the bamboo shoots first to see if there are any insects on it to make sure it's safe for the water buffalo to eat.
那我们刚第一点提到，因为方法简单，那同样的牧牛呢，它很简单，带到现场放牛的现场之后，就只是让牛去吃草，那到黄昏的时候就把牛再牵回家就好。可是如果我们认为好像事情这么简单， 有时候我们的心就会怎样，我们讲说就会松懈下来嘛。就是松懈下来呢，如果我们就是觉得哦，没关系，我只是牵着牛去吃草而已，那也不管它，那就让它这样，要让它自己走回去。可是牛呢，它并不会就这样子，好像在我们想这么久，它就乖乖走回家。它其实在边走的过程当中呢，它如果看到，你以前中国，即使我们在台湾我们养牛的时候，它走在稻田中间那个小小径上面、小道上面呢，两边还是稻草。如果没有看顾好的话，齁、哦、那牛还是会怎么样，还是会走一走之后呢，还是会去，它会草和稻它分不清楚齁、哦、它还是会去怎样去吃它，它把它当作是草吃齁、哦、它如果是吃自己家的还好，如果吃到别人家的，这下子可能就需要去跟别人道歉了齁、哦、所以很重要一点就是，当我们的心这一样在修行过程当中，我们觉得好像方法很简单啊，好像觉得我已经数息可以数很好了，或是我们自己觉得好像话筒好像可以念得很好了，这时候心如果一松懈下来，一有这样的心起来，好像方法用很好了，其实心就是松懈下来了。一松懈下来呢，我们要能够察觉到、哦、察觉到呢就怎样再把方法提起来，就是要很有耐心的再把方法拿回来齁、哦、那这时候呢，我们不需要感到灰心，会觉得我怎么修行过程当中怎么会忽然松懈下来了呢，可能就开始去懊悔过去。那有时候会去预期是不是这方法在我如果再更努力用功下去，是可以得到更好的结果，这是我们通常所期待的嘛，我们会期待着有好的结果能够发生。好、哦，那其实只要不管是我们发现刚刚没用功在懊悔了，还是期待未来有好的方法，只要当我们心发现是落在这两个、哦、这两个上面的时候呢，我们懂得把意识到了，懂得把心再拉回来，这时候代表我们的修行就是正确的。
So, at first, it sounds very simple. The ox herding sounds a very simple job, very easy job. You just lead the ox to the grassland and let it eat the grass, and then after he finishes, it will go home. It sounds very simple job, but actually, just like I explained earlier, there's a lot of knowledge and skills going to this job, because the ox actually wouldn't do as you wish. After it finishes eating, it will go home and without wandering away. Actually, it's quite wild in sometimes, because if you don't pay attention, it may go astray to other people's rice field and eat the rice instead of the grass. So you still have to have knowledge and still have to pay attention to the entire process. And this is just like a practitioner, how he uses a method and his attitude towards the method. Because the method of counting breath or using hua tou, on the surface, it seems very simple. And when you use it for a while, you may feel content. You may feel, I'm using this method really well now. And you, at that point, actually, you already relaxed. Your practice already lax. And at that point, you need to pick up your method again. Be mindful and be diligent. And when you realize you actually get lost in thoughts again, you lost the method, some people may feel regrets. They regret what has passed, or they may anticipate the future. They're anticipating some good results will come soon. Both attitudes are not correct. The right attitude should be constantly, gently pulling yourself back on track, pulling yourself back to the method itself.
好，我们现在就来看第一张图哦。讲到现在才要讲到石牛图哦。
Okay, now we'll get into the real pictures, and this is the first one.
有了吗？有了。好。第一张图牛还没出来，好。
So in the first picture, the ox hadn't appeared yet.
好，我先念他第一张图，他颂文是讲什么？他这个总共呢，他会有四段，可是师父在讲解只讲颂文而已，就每一张图它其实有四段四首诗的，那师父只讲颂文。那我们来看颂文讲什么。颂文讲说，茫茫波草去追寻，水阔山遥路更远，历尽神疲无处觅，但闻枫树晚长吟。
So first I'll read the verses that goes with the first picture. There are actually four poems, but Shifu only talked about the first poem, the first verses. Along in the wilderness, he's searching and searching the swirling waters, far away mountains, and unending path. Exhausted and in despair, he knows not where to go. He only hears the evening cicadas singing in the maple woods.
这张图讲的是什么呢？它是讲说，当一个修行者开始要修行之前，他听到说修行这件事情可以达到开悟的目的，他对这个非常有兴趣，于是他就开始要修行，他就开始听到他有兴趣。就听到这方法他有兴趣，于是他想要开始修行。可是在开始修行的时候呢，
So what does the first picture talk about? The first picture talks about a person who heard about enlightenment, who heard about self nature, Buddha nature, and got very interested in this concept, but he hasn't started practice yet. Because he's so interested in the theory, and he's decided to start practice.
好，那一个修行者听到有方法，那他也开始愿意修行。那他开始在初用功的时候，就是一开始在用功的时候，他会发现到自己怎么比没有在修行之前烦恼更多呢？他发现自己有这样子一个问题。
So after the person heard about the enlightenment, heard about there's a method actually you can use to achieve enlightenment, he decided to give the try. He started diligently to practice. But in the beginning, he realized he actually has more vexations or discovered more vexations than he hadn't even started practice.
我不知道大家在刚开始来修行的时候有没有同样的问题。
I don't know if you have the same issue or same experience, just like what I just said, that you discover more vexations, you feel more vexations than you haven't started practice.
那为什么我们本来还没修行之前好像都没有烦恼，就都没有问题，可是怎么一修行之后就全部跑出来呢？他们想过是什么样的原因？
So have you ever thought about why is that? Why that before you start practice, you actually feel fine. You didn't feel anything wrong or problematic. I didn't discover that many vexations, that many wandering thoughts. But once you started practice, you actually discovered that you have so many wandering thoughts and vexations. Have you ever wondered why?Some people say because you need to face yourself now. Some people said because of awareness, 因为那个觉照力。
然后它的原因是什么呢？第二是觉照力没有错哈，因为在我举个例子哈，我们的生活啊，如果是像一个本来是像一个干净的水，一个水塘，或者是我们拿一个透明的玻璃容器倒进干净的水。那 当我们的五根好、哦、对外面的五尘五境的时候啊，我们就类似开始像水里面怎样，如果遇到一个人我们不开心，这个喜欢那个不喜欢，我们就类似开始像水里面放进什么，放进石头，把一些杂质开始丢进去，好、哦、比如水中开始有了这些，因为我们去贪执这些，这个叫做爱齁、哦、所谓的爱呢是在佛法上面这个叫爱，就是这个爱呢是我们喜欢不喜欢都叫爱，因为我们只取着自己一个我们喜欢的齁、哦、这是我们一般所谓的爱的部分。那我们不喜欢就是讨厌的东西，我们为什么会讨厌呢？因为我们一样是只取着一个我们认为我们要的环境，对不对？所以说去排斥我们不想要的，所以它同样是都归在爱的这个执取的里头。好、哦，那因为我们有自己我们的看法，我们自己的想法，所以当没办法达到我们所想要的，我们一直辛辛苦想去追求它嘛。那追求到之后，我们又怕失去它。好、哦，那与我们是对立的，我们又会怎样？升起嗔恨心，讨厌它。好、哦，因此我们就是。因为内心跟外境产生互动之后，那我们有这样执取的功能，那这种所谓执取的功能就是类似我们不断的把本来应该是这个容器头应该摆在干净的水，我们不断的放进这些杂质东西进去，然后因为我们自己本身在里头怎样一直在混动着，在搅拌着它，所以我们已经看不到本来应该是干净的，还有就是这里头到底已经有多少东西我们已经不知道，因为水已经是怎样浑浊的了，浑浊到我们已经不知道里头到底有多少东西了。那我们在没修行之前，我们是这样子一个过程。好、
哦、So why do we have that experience that we have actually we feel we have more vexations than we haven't started practice? Is that practice makes us worse? No. Actually, the reason that you feel that way is because, I'll give you an analogy to show why it is. It's just like a pond or a transparent glassware that you put water in it. So it should be clear. But unfortunately, we throw in a lot of stones into the water. The stones are here referred to attachments, our attachments or vexations. So when our five sense organs contact the five dusts or five desire realms, the five desires, and we start to have attachments and cravings, aversions, because no matter whether it's cravings or aversions, it's attachment. Because according to our standards, we like this or we dislike that. And when we like something, we're afraid of losing it. And when we dislike something, we give rise to anger or hatred or aversion. So those emotions, constant fluctuation of emotions, are just like stones or defilements that we keep throwing into that clear water. And we keep stirring up the water with all these stones and make it very muddy. So you don't really know what's going on.
当我们开始修行用方法之后呢，就像什么，我们停止了在像这个容器的水盆在丢东西进去，而我们知道当一个本来被搅拌的这个已经很浑浊的这个水盆或水缸，它开始停止之后会怎么样，东西开始沉淀下来，在这沉淀过程中我们才慢慢发现，哦，原来我们本身有这么多的烦恼，原来这是我们过去，我们都会发现它主要都是我们过去所造作的。因此有一些人在修行的过程当中，他会发现本来没修行还没事，一修行问题一大堆，而且可能过去十年前二十年前跟人发生的事情通通都开始跑出来。
So that's just before we start practice, we are keeping throwing stones and stirring up the water, so it's quite muddy, unclear, and we don't even know what's going on. And then after we start practice, we start to slow down the throw stone process. We start to even not throwing stone into the water anymore. So the water temporarily are not being stirring up all the time, and it had the chance to sit, and all the defilements, all the stones had the chance to go down to the bottom. And because the water started to become a little calm, now you have the chance to see what's in there and what have you done in the past. So things that you have done maybe 10 years or 20 years ago will start slowly appearing in front of you. That's why after we start practice, we see more vexations.
所以在我们刚开始修行的时候，我们会发现比没修行前问题还多，这是正常的。
That's why it's actually quite normal for people to feel that they have more vexations after they start practice.
好，第二章是见机，好，是见到牛的足迹的，不过牛还是没出现哦。那他的颂文怎么讲呢？他讲说，水边林下鸡偏多，芳草离披见也吗？纵是深山更深处，聊天鼻孔怎藏他。
So the second ox herding pictures is titled Seeing the Traces of Ox. Still, you can't see the ox in the picture. It hadn't showed up yet. And the verses goes like this. By the water, under the trees, scattered are the traces of the lost. Fragrant woods are growing thick. Did he find the way? However, remote over the hills and far away, the convey wonder, her nose reaches the heavens and none can conceal it.
这说什么呢？这说当一个想要修行的人，他一开始听到有方法可以让我们的心是达到清净的，那他也开始愿意修行，而且他也找到一位好的老师指导他。那在找到好的老师指导他的时候呢，他也透过在经教当中、经典当中，就是依照的经典当中的方法，他认真的修行。所以在这个过程当中呢，很重要两点：第一点是有一位好老师，有一位大善知识指导着我们。第二个是我们开始听闻经教，而且依着经教里头的方法去用功，也就是建立起正确的知见，修行正确的方法和态度。
So at this stage, the second stage, the person who wants to practice has already find a good teacher, a good knowing advisor could teach him, and also he studies Buddhist scriptures, classics diligently, attend Dharma talks, and to establish the right view and the right attitude towards practice and using the correct method.
在图里面呢，它是地上画了一些牛的脚印，而且是乱乱的。那这时候呢，他已经知道修行的这个方法呢，是可以达到开悟，也就是达到清净心的这个目的，因此他的信心会开始建立起来，相信着老师说的是没有错的，经典当中说的方法也是没有错的，那只要是我们愿意相信这老师所讲的，而且也愿意按照经典当中所说的方法，那我们一定可以找到牛。
So in this picture, the practitioner has, although he hasn't seen the ox yet, he already seen some traces of the ox, some hoof prints of the ox. So now he has more faith in the teacher and in the method, and he believes that as long as he practices diligently and follows the method and follows the instructions of the teacher, he will eventually see the ox.
所以这在我们修行的过程当中呢，我们第一张图就像我们的心从散乱的一个散乱的心，哦，慢慢的进到第二张图，看到牛的足迹，牛的足迹，这时候呢，是我们的心已经慢慢能够集中起来。那这是像我们用方法的过程当中呢，我们现在已经能够趋向于集中，比如说我们熟悉，我们已经可以方法数得很绵密了，已经很绵密，那甚至我们可以察觉到自己身体的整个觉受状况，哦，也可以察觉到我们身体的整个觉受状况，或是在念话头的人呢，他已经可以话头绵密用功啊，偶尔可能哎，移情他开始慢慢出来，可是这时候还是断断续续的，还是断断续续的，哦，心有时候还是会受到外在事物的影响，还是会受到外在事物影响。不过这在我们修行过程当中，它都是很正常会发生的。我们不需要因为心可能受到影响，我们就去哎觉得我刚刚怎么这样子没有用功呢？哦，不要对自己起这种懊悔心。我们刚开始在前面就有提到，我们在修行的时候，一个好的牧牛人，他坚持不懈，那他也不要对于过去已经犯错误，不是说不去承认，他是说已经犯过错，我们不需要在里头懊悔了。哦，我们承认我们自己做过这样子的事情，可是不是一种懊悔心去责备自己。哦，这第一点。第二点是我们也不要去期待未来有好的，是不是这个方法我持续用功下去，我就可以跟历代祖师大德一样可以开悟，也不要这种期待心去期待着我这样下去是不是就可以开悟了。哦，不要把心是放在这两个上面。
So from the first picture to the second picture, this process, the relationship between the two, actually shows how a beginner practitioner started his practice from a very scattered mind and gradually using the method to reach a concentrated mind. And at that point,at the second stage, he is able to continuously using the method and to be aware of the body, the sensations of body, and also aware of the mind activities. Although sometimes he will still interrupted by or affected by the outside environment, but nevertheless he is able to use the method more effectively. So when a practitioner practitioner is aware that he's affected by outside phenomena, he shouldn't give rise to regrets, just like how I discussed earlier. He should keep using the method and be persistent. He shouldn't regret and, oh, why should I wander off? Of course, he should recognize that he wandered off, he made a mistake. But he shouldn't give rise to the regret. He should just simply, gently pull it back to the method. This is the first point that we need to pay attention. And second point is, at this stage, the practitioner shouldn't give rise to anticipation. Anticipation of good results. Am I going to get enlightened soon? That thought is not necessary either.Still, we should come back to the method.
好，先讲这边，大家没有什么问题。
Okay, so that's it for today's talk. Do you have any questions?
我们还没找到牛哈，只看到牛的足迹而已。
So we haven't find the ox yet, but that we have seen the traces and hoof prints of the ox.
那下次来，所以会看到牛在这边哦。
And when you come next time, maybe you'll see an ox here.
或是今天回去之后，大家去找自己的牛。
Or maybe after this talk, when you go home, you should try diligently to find your own ox.
但是并不需要真的在家自己养一头牛哦。
But it doesn't mean that you really need to raise a cattle at home. Robert has a question.
Method. 但是这是不是24小时每天都要用的方法？方法它是持续用功的，哦， 不过在用方法的时候，我们的心不是想着自己在用方法，是让这个方法已经跟我们的日常生活是紧密的结合在一起，而不是想着说我现在走路，我在走路，我在走路，不是这样提醒的，而是说我们清楚的去觉受，知道自己在走路的过程。啊，可是在这用功过程当中呢，我们其实跟外在互动还是存在的，只是我们的心是保持着这一个在最单纯的状况。遇到境界的时候还是有，可是不是随着我们过去内心喜欢的这个价值去做反应，去做判断。
So yes, in some sense, because the method should be continuously used. The method should be already integrated into your life. It's like when you're walking, it's not like you should say to yourself, I'm walking. But you should be clearly aware that you are walking. You're aware of the sensation of walking. And at the same time, you're still able to interact with the outside world. But you try to keep the mind simple, straightforward. And when you encounter something, you don't react to it based on karmic influence, but you... 最后那个他是怎么回应啊？就是如果遇到问题的话。
我举个例子哈。假设今天有你在公司上班，跟你隔壁的这个同事，他让你很生气。啊，你也察觉到很生气，可是我们的反应不是说，哇，好生气，好生气，他倒好生气，不是这样子，而是我们内心察觉到自己已经生气了，可是还是在互动的过程当中，我们不是说，我知道我很生气，我要骂他，所以我骂了他，好，不是这样子的互动。
就是你就知道自己生气，但是不会说。
不是，知道生气的状况，可是不是。让他去发泄出去。
Oh, okay.
所以处理事情和情绪两个是分开的。
Okay. Yeah. So when you encounter issues with outside the world, 法师gives an example how you should deal with it. For example, you're at your workplace, you're really angry with your colleagues, and you went into a fight. But you're aware that you're angry, but you don't speak out hurtful words.So basically, you are able to be aware of the angry sensation and not act upon it or react to it like people who hadn't practiced just react right away.
就像我很生气，而且他惹我不开心，我也知道我想打他，可是我就打了他。然后我告诉我自己说，我知道我现在是要打他，所以我打他。我们的修行不是用这样子的模式，我们有时候会觉得没错，我都很清楚知道啊，所以我就去打他。但是这样子的问题他没解决，而且可能还会造成更多的问题。
So it's not like saying you know you're angry and you know you want to hit that person and then you did hit the person. It's not like that. Even though you're aware of the entire sequencing, aware of the entire process, it's more like you're aware that you're angry, but you don't keep building on that or react upon it.Because hitting that people doesn't really solve any problem.
那就像有些人知道吃甜的会变胖，可是呢，我还是知道会变胖，但是我还是把甜食给吃了。那不是会变胖还是会造成啊？可是那不是说我知道这么做会产生不好结果，而且我也知道我这么做了它。好，那既然已经知道了，那就怎样就停止了嘛？只要不做，问题就解决了。
So it's more like some people really like dessert or sweets. And it's not like you know that you like sweets, and then you know you want to eat sweets, and then you did eat sweets, and then you worry that you're going to gain weight. It's more like you're aware that you have the tendency to eat sweets, but once you're aware, you stop at that point.You don't let it keep building upon it on itself and lead to the consequence.
所以方法还是每天持续着的。
So the method should be always with you 24/7, should be continuously used.
还有问题吗？
Do you have any other questions?
我们今天时间到。
So we'll do the mealtime offering together. In Chinese first and then English.
就读，就好像我们带着读就行，我们先读中文，然后再读英文就可以。
嗯。最后今天，今天就谢谢大家来这边。
Thank you for coming.Thank you for coming, everyone.
大家的福德智慧因缘，懂得来这边听我们佛法，那也谢谢四明菩萨今天帮忙翻译。
Thank you for everyone's coming to hearing the talk.